Welcome back to another season of Supernatural Scotland, the podcast. I'm your host, Mark Smith, back with more frightening and blood-curdling stories from Scotland. Thank you to all my returning listeners from Season 1, and welcome to any new ones. If you're new, why not go back and listen to Season 1? It has everything from headless horsemen to ghostly children to poltergeists and lots of spooky locations to visit. I've been working hard researching places to include, and I think we have a great season ahead. So ladies and gentlemen, ghosts and ghouls, sit back and enjoy the first episode of Season 2. Our first location is the cursed grave of Seth Moore. Seth Moore is buried in a kirkyard. The kirkyard was traditionally used as burial ground for the Shaw family who held the seat at Rothay Murchis. This clan chief was known as the Great Shaw, and his grave has five cursed homing stones laid upon it. The kirkyard is located deep in a very old woodland on the Rothay Murchis estate, which is in the Scottish Highlands. There have been many ghost sightings in the area and reports of elf-like creatures being spotted. If you dare to visit, you will see the gravestone is carved with a tribute to the Great Shaw, who won in combat at Perth in 1396. He died in 1405. The grave is encased in an iron cage, which is said to be for visitors' own safety. The iron cage was placed there in 1983. Others would tell you of visitors' bad luck after touching the cursed stones, with some dying. They believe the iron cage was placed there to protect visitors from the curse. The five stones are claimed to represent the people who survived the Battle of the Clans in 1396. These stones are made of granite and are cylinder shaped. They rest on top of a curved stone covering the top of the grave. Apparently, only one of these stones will result in your death, so pick wisely if you are going to be crazy enough to touch one. The grave is said to be protected by a creature called Bordak Anduin, which is an elf spirit. This spirit is full of rage and very dangerous. It originally protected the whole estate, but when the ownership of the estate changed to the Grants, the Bordak began to only guard the grave. There have been plenty of people, brave or stupid enough, to touch the stones, and here is a wee list of recorded victims. A journalist in the 1940s lifted a stone above his head. He died in a car crash only hours later. In 1978, a man touched one of the stones and died from an illness soon after. His friend, who had rearranged the stones, was found dead in the graveyard 24 hours after touching the stones. Another of his friends was also struck down with the mysterious illness, although he survived, having been hospital bound. The strangest was in the 1800s. An English walker threw a stone into the River Spey. 4 days later, the stone mysteriously reappeared, and the walker was found dead. Not just dead, but drowned. It is said that the Great Shaw still roams the woodlands, ready for battle with his twisted smile. That would really freak out anyone. If he challenges you to a battle, it is safer to accept and stand your ground, for if you flee, you will never be seen again. If you stand your ground, he will leave you alone. So if you decide to visit, you may want to think twice about touching the stones, and you should keep a lookout for the deadly spirits that haunt the spooky place. Our next location is Louis Belt Lodge. The lodge was used as a bothy for many years, and it was during this time two climbers used it to take shelter for the night, and that's when things got really scary. The lodge was a former deer stalking lodge and is about 10 miles away from Kinlochleven. In 1890, a gamekeeper and deer stalker named John McAlpine lived in the lodge with his wife. One day, his wife went looking for John, only to discover he had committed suicide by hanging himself from a crossbeam. The death was recorded in the Oban Times on the 26th of April 1890. He had hung himself upstairs in the lodge. In February 1907, three bodies were found by a shepherd in the snow on a nearby hillside, frozen to death in a blizzard, in which they no doubt had lost their bearings. They had been making their way to a dam construction project at Kinlochleven. They had tried to reach the lodge seeking shelter, but the extreme cold weather was too much for them. Or possibly they had reached the lodge and been chased off into the snow by something. I guess we will never know. In 1920, a lonely gamekeeper also sadly passed away. It was said he was still devastated over the death of his son during the war. It was then used as a bothy for travellers to use to seek shelter. In February 1973, two young men from a climbing club were terrified during the night. The friends were headed to Lochaber Mountains after arriving at Kinlochleven. At the eastern edge of Lochleven, the pair started the long hike. During winter, Scotland can see quite severe weather. They claimed afterwards the snow was 6 inches high. They reached the lodge late in the day. By now, the building was basically a ruin that had been converted to a bothy to provide shelter to the climbers and hikers. They had hiked 10 miles in the snow to reach it. The valley is often covered in mist, with a few trees near the lodge. There had been rumours of a group of people living off-grid at the lodge. However, the boys were not worried about this, and they believed they would be welcomed by anyone living in the lodge. When they arrived at the lodge, there was no one around, and the lodge was locked up tight. They waited some time to see if anyone would turn up. However, no one did. They flashed lights in the windows and could not see anyone inside. Eventually, they discovered an unlocked window and climbed in. By this point, it was pitch black, and being so far away from civilization, it was dead silent. They discovered what had been a Christmas dinner and signs of people leaving quickly without having the feast. They checked the rooms to confirm no one was home and decided to check upstairs. The floorboards were creaky, as is the case with very old buildings, especially ones not taken care of. They walked into a bedroom, which is believed to be the one the man hung himself from. The pair claimed this room had a creepy atmosphere and it was colder than the rest. Within this room was a dismantled metal bed frame propped up against the wall and open green curtains. The really strange thing was a boulder placed on the window ledge. They returned to the living room and got into their sleeping bags. One of the friends played his recorder and he sang some songs before the terror began.
They blew the candle out,
ready to get some sleep. As soon as they did this, the noises upstairs began. The first noise they heard was footsteps, followed by the metal framed bed being pulled away from the wall and being put back together again. After a little while, they could hear what sounded like the boulder being rolled around the floor. The noises stopped shortly after, and it was dead silent again. The pair were terrified. What kind of crazy people had snuck into the lodge? They eventually fell back asleep, but at around 4 a.m. they were woken again. But the noises were not coming from upstairs. They were coming from this very room. The living room went crazy with sounds of all sorts of things flying around the room. It was pitch black. They could see nothing, but they could hear all the menacing noises all at once. They were absolutely scared stiff by what was happening. They hid within their sleeping bags, hearts pounding loudly. One of the lads lit a candle, only for it to be pulled from his hands and thrown across the room. They could also hear footsteps from upstairs again. The noises stopped for a moment before the footsteps seemed to be closer again. It sounded as if someone or something was coming down the stairs, which continued to get closer and closer. The living room door was closed, and they sat quietly and terrified, waiting for the worst to happen. One of them grabbed his ice axe and ran to the door before opening it quickly, only to discover the hallway was empty. He shut the door and heard the footsteps returning upstairs to the bedroom again. They escaped out the window into the early morning to escape what darkness occupied the lodge. As they walked away, they noticed the green curtains were now closed. The men returned to the lodge in 1974 to figure out and explain what had happened that terrifying night. They were also accompanied by a third friend to witness anything happening again. They discovered scribblings on the walls and ceilings, which they believed were evidence of others experiencing the horrors also. Everything seemed fine until they heard a scratching noise at night. The scratching sounded as if it was coming from outside, as if something heavy was being dragged across gravel. It also became louder and louder before stopping instantly. Only for it to start again inside the house. All they had was a candle. One of the men had learned a hand sign. It was a pagan symbol. He explained this as a fist, leaving the thumb and a little finger extended. He used the candle to create a huge shadow on the ceiling. This appeared to stop the sounds instantly. They did not experience any more sounds throughout the night. They returned again in the summer of 1975 to figure out the lodge's secrets. They found large writing by the staircase, which read, "This house is haunted. This house is evil." In 1992, a group of three women hikers had taken shelter in the lodge during a bad storm. They were scared by a knocking sound on the door. This was during the day, and the three women decided to leave and brave the storm. they reported feelings of being followed by a figure nearby. When they turned around, the figure was gone. In 1994, a hiker passing the lodge reported passing someone in the mist. The ghostly figure walked straight past without uttering a word. When the hiker looked back, the figure was gone, disappeared in the mist. The lodge is now a shell of itself, having fallen into disrepair. Maybe this is for the best, as the last report was of a hiker suffering projectile vomiting after visiting the lodge. So if you decide to visit the lodge, don't say I didn't warn you. And today we are finishing with a fairy tale from Scotland. The Blacksmith and the Fairies of Islay. There was once a blacksmith, and he had a teenage son. His son one day fell terribly ill. He was always hungry, and he could not get enough food, no matter how much he gave him. It should have been impossible. The boy was bedbound and getting thinner by the day. The blacksmith was terribly worried about his son and asked the advice of an old wise traveller. The old man listened to the man's concerns before announcing the boy was no longer his son, but a fairy changeling. To confirm his suspicions, the wise man told him to pour water into empty eggshells and take them into the room, all the time acting as if they were very heavy. He was then told to spread them out on the floor. As he did so, the boy in the bed burst out laughing and cried, "In 800 years I've never seen anything as strange as that." This proved, of course, it was indeed a changeling. The smith grabbed the changeling and threw him into the fire. To his surprise, it flew up the chimney. The smith, now concerned with where his son was, asked the wise man for more advice. He was told to go to a nearby hill on a specific night, where the entrance to the fairy kingdom would open. He took a Bible, a knife, and a cockerel with him, as per the man's instructions. On approaching the hill, he saw a shining light coming from somewhere. He seen an entrance slowly closing and stabbed the knife into the ground to stop it from closing altogether. He then entered. He found his son being held as a slave at the forge, and with anger loudly demanded the fairies let them escape. The large crowd of fairies laughed loudly. All the laughing woke the cockerel, which had been sleeping, and it crowed in shock. The fairies could not stand the sound of the cockerel, so the father and son were thrown out. The blacksmith then removed his knife, and the hill was dark again. They returned home, and after his son recovered, he again returned to helping his father. The son saw his father struggle to forge a sword good enough for a clan chief, and took over creating an amazing sword with the skills he had learned. I hope you've enjoyed the first episode of season 2. We're getting very close to Halloween, and I've got a little message about Halloween on the next episode. I look forward to telling you more stories from Scotland. Goodbye for now.